Please be seated.
Amen. Good evening, church. Let's find in our Bibles the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 is where we will study God's Word together this evening. I hope that you had a good afternoon, a fine afternoon. It's a fine place to be with the people of God as a day draws to conclusion. We will shortly go our separate ways about the business of life over the next week. Let's be disciples. Let's remember who we are. Let's do those things and bring glory to one another and strengthen one another in the goodness of God. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, let the children come to me. Let the children come to me. And while you're finding Mark 10 in your Bible, let me tell you a story, true story. So this last year, you recall that Christmas fell on a Sunday. And that happens every so often. And over the last few years, I've kind of been noticing a trend. That is, that in some very large churches and denominational churches, when Christmas falls on a Sunday, they just cancel their worship. And they say, well, we're going to have a family time for the volunteers and for the staff. We're not going to have worship because Christmas fell on that. The other way is, some of these very large churches, they say, well, I mean, we need to worship. We're going to have one service. But it's going to be very stripped down. We're going to need near the staff or the volunteers to pull it off. And I say all that because Julie has a dear friend back in Tennessee that's going to one of those large churches that found itself in that very situation this last Christmas. And so they were going to have worship, but it was going to be simple worship, man. One service, hardly any volunteers, and no children's church. And so on Christmas morning, Julie's friend sent out a little Facebook thing, and it was a funny thing, but it was a prayer request. You know, pray for me, y'all, because my husband and I are bringing the 3-year-old twins and our kindergartner to worship together for the first time today. It'll be fun, winky wink. It'll be fine, smiley face. Pray for me. And, you know, I thought that, you know, that's a pretty common experience for people. This is a great family and a church-going family. They go to church every Sunday, but they don't ever worship together. The kids go off to children's church. Very common worship experience for a lot of churchgoers in our country. There is big church or grown-up church, which is kind of what we know as our corporate assembly. And then there is children's church, or some people call it parallel worship. And last year, Children's Ministry Magazine did an online survey, and they asked the question, where should kids worship? And they wanted people to answer, is it better for kids to worship with adults? Should they be a part of big church, or should they have their own worship setting? Should it be uniquely children's church? And they were even surprised at how many respondents they got, over 2,000. And I found the statistics they reported quite remarkable, because a full 48% of those 2,000 said children need to be with the adults. They need to worship together. They need to be in big church, if you will. Whereas 52% said, no, it ought to be children's church, and children's church is best. And I have to tell you, I probably would not have guessed that nearly half of people would be pro-family, pro-corporate worship, but they were. And I was glad to learn it. And maybe sometimes we've been a little hesitant exactly what to say to young families that we're inviting to come and to worship with us. Because what are you going to say when they ask, well, do you have children's church? But look, there are some people who expect full well all the families going to worship together. And that's great. But of course, then there are those other parents you talk to that when you say, well, we don't have children's church, you just see the blood kind of drain from their face. How do you do this? How does that work? Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about why it's good and why it is important that parents bring their kids to worship and that families worship together in the local church. There is not children's church here at Livingston. And I want you to know at the outset, it's not because of a lack of funds. And it's not because of a lack of qualified volunteers. It's not because of a lack of facilities. And it's not because this church just isn't big enough for it. This is a choice. It's a value that families should worship together. We are not telling parents, bring your kids into worship with you because there's a lack of better options. Not at all. There's a purpose. There's a reason. The Lord's church is for everyone. That includes children. I want to start in Mark chapter 10 with you tonight. And notice with you verses 13 through 16. Brother Jonah read it so well, but if you found it now, Mark 10 and verse 13. Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now in this account, you're going to notice that there's four people or four groups of people. There's Jesus. All right. There's the parents, the people bringing the small children. There's the disciples. And of course, there's the little children. All right. Luke calls them infants, but small children. And what I want to do for a couple of minutes is I want to talk about each of those four with you. Talk about each of those four with you. Discuss it tonight to encourage parents and all disciples about families worshiping Jesus together. It's Jesus that said, "Let the little children come to me." So let's start with Jesus. And number one in your notes, we learn in this text that Jesus blesses children. Jesus blesses children. Jesus wanted to see the children, and he would bless the children. Now, Jesus' attitude is unlike the disciples in this account. The disciples are looking at Jesus and they say, "Here is an important man. Here is a busy man. Here is a great rabbi. Don't bother him with children, because children fuss and children have runny noses and children squirm, and he doesn't need all that. Jesus is a king." Jesus, though, had time for children. And not only are the disciples all wrong about the children, but we also see that they are all wrong about Jesus. The disciples saw how important Jesus was. They failed to see how important the children were and how important the children were to Jesus. What does he do? He holds them. He lays hands on the children. He blesses the children. That's verse 16. And he took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them and he blessed them. Now I want to ask you a question. Don't you think Jesus still blesses children today? Don't you think he does? I'll tell you, he still has time and desire to bless a family. Though he is the king, though he's king of the universe, he is pleased that there are some people who know him from their childhood. He is pleased that there are parents, who are raising their children to know Jesus. It is good. It is a blessing to young hearts and to young lives to learn about Jesus early. I mean, the sooner people learn about Jesus, the better. Life's better with the knowledge of Christ. The sooner you get Christ, the better. When people know Jesus, okay? When young people and when children know Jesus, are introduced to Jesus, why then children are offered eternal wisdom to guide them in life's major decisions. Knowing Jesus from a young age, children are offered reality by the revelation of God, the Bible. You get to a leg up in this world when you understand, okay, well, this is where it came from, and this is how it works, and this is what life's all about, and this is why it is the way it is. That is very, very good. Children are offered morals and standards that would protect them from harmful and destructive sins. Children are offered security, knowing that there is a God who is their father, who loves them. He is there. He is listening. He is watching for them. Children are offered community. They don't find it just in their parents and that nuclear family, but in the church family. What a blessing for people of all ages to see others, to have friends that would share resources and joy and sorrow because they shared Jesus. Children are offered the sustaining virtues to survive and even thrive in this sin-sick world. Faith, hope, love. You get these with Jesus. And children are offered the Savior. Now, they don't understand all that when they're little. But one day they will. One day they will know they've sinned. Who they sinned against. The consequences of that sin. And that Jesus loves them and is the Savior to forgive them of that sin and bring them new life. They're going to know the solution. They're going to know the answer to be right with God. And I'm just saying that the sooner people gain these blessings from Jesus, the better. I have never heard a Christian say, boy, I wish I had heard about the gospel later on in my life. I haven't heard it. But I have had people come and tell me, new Christians come and tell me, I wish I had known about this back when. I wish I had heard this sooner. I've had people in the local church come and tell me, these children, they don't know how blessed they are. They don't know how lucky they are. Because nobody ever taught me about the Bible when I was their age. What a difference it would have made. What a difference it would have made. And I understand that not all children grow up and want Jesus. They still make a choice. Some, sadly, choose to reject him. But I'd say it's still better to know. It's still better to know. And this truth that Jesus blesses children, it motivates parents, it motivates churches to help their children know Jesus. But I'll say that one of the simplest, most direct parallels to make for parents today, of these parents and these ones with small children in the Bible, bringing them to meet Jesus, what seems to be the most obvious, the clearest, the simplest parallel to draw today, is for parents to bring children to church today. And bring them into the worship today. To worship as a family. These people came to meet Jesus. They wanted their children, even small children, to meet Jesus. Well, when the church gathers for worship, it is in part to commune with Christ. We are gathered with Jesus. And Jesus will bless your children. Now that ought to encourage us. To bring the children to worship. And to worship with them. Jesus blesses children. Let's go on to number two. This second group of people we read about in Mark 10. And number two in your notes, it's these parents. Full disclosure, I'm assuming they're parents. They are they in the text, these ones, and they have babies. So I'm doing a little bit of logic here, but I think it's parents. And so the parents are bringing children to Jesus. The parents had small children. They wanted to introduce them to Jesus, have Jesus bless them. That's Mark 10, verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. It's a good thing. It's good that here were adults and people that wanted to bring children to meet Jesus and for Jesus to bless them. I want to tell you tonight that family worship in the assembly, it's good. It is a good thing. It is good when families worship together. I'll tell you some very practical benefit that comes out of it. First, practically, children need to see their parents worshiping. In the Psalms 78, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist records how he had learned from his fathers the mighty deeds of God and how he would not shirk to declare them to his children to pass this word on. The children would see the faith in the father, would learn the faith from the fathers. And I'll tell you, children learn so many things from their parents' example. And that includes worship. That includes worship. Practically, it is so good that the worship family worships together because the family can review and discuss the worship together afterwards. The family's been singing the same songs. The family's been hearing the same sermon. And so when families are driving in the car, they're having lunch later, they know what to say when little Johnny says, what did the preacher mean when he said thus and so? What was that word? What was that song about? All that armor of God? Daddy, did I get my full panoply on? We all have the same experience. We all can talk about it now as a family. Parents can answer the questions. Make the application in the home together. We're on the same page. Very, very practically, these are good things that come out of families worshiping together. When you worship with your kids, you are teaching your kids. You know what you're teaching your kids? Well, for one thing, they're learning that not everything is about kids. When you worship together. How so? Well, I'll tell you that a lot of family-friendly activities are really about kid-friendly activities, aren't they? You know, mom and dad have all been to the certain places, the restaurants that are very family friendly. And what's that mean? This is all about the kids. I hope I'm not spending too much money here, right? It's all about the kids and the entertainment and the movie. If it's called family friendly, it's actually for the kids and parents go along for the ride. Well, that's not what worship is. And that's not how worship is supposed to be. And I understand the goals of Children's Church. It's to aim worship just at them. just so they understand worship, just right at their level, and it's all about their level. But you know, you also limit their view of what the church is and who the church is and who worship is for. At what point do we stop babysitting the babies? Say, well, now you need to learn that worship is about God. It wasn't all about you and it wasn't all about your levels. It was about God. Worship is about God. Not everything is about children. Not everything is about people. Some things are about God. Worship's about God. We're going to learn and teach our children as we worship together some discipline and some self-control. And this is probably a little bit more of a byproduct of worshiping together, but it's very true. Children have to learn a little bit how we behave and proper ways to be in the assembly of the church. And the benefits of this will pop up at some of the oddest places. A couple years ago, my wife's grandmother, Grandma Helen, she passed away. And Owen was like 2 years old. He was a real little guy. Anyway, so all the families come together. All the cousins are there. And there's plenty of cousins the same age as my kids. And found out that what the other family members had done is hired babysitters to deal with all the kids during the funeral. They weren't planning on having their children at the funeral. And we're there, and we bring the kids in, and all the aunts and uncles are just oohing and aahing, and oh my. How do you have your children to sit still and be quiet and respectful at this funeral? Well, we hadn't thought about it a whole lot. But afterwards, we realized, I guess we'd been learning that we can sit, and not everything's all about us, and it doesn't have to be fun and games. That, you know, that there's appropriate occasions to be reverent and to be solemn and to put the focus somewhere else. And that was just a real benefit. I have to say, I think they learned that from spending time with God's people in worship. And it just benefits in other situations. Some parents doubt the good of worshiping together. I mean, if I do take little Johnny and little Susie in with me as opposed to children's church, that's going to be a whole lot of work. It will be some work, you know. They say, I'm not going to get anything out of it. And especially if we're talking about babies or talking about toddlers, because those can be quite consuming for parents. Some parents are very timid to bring their children to church and to sit with them, to worship with them. And the parents thinking, well, the issue is if I'm training the child and I'm keeping the child, then I won't get much out of the service. I won't pay attention. I won't listen good. I won't learn myself. You see, the problem is if I am parenting the child in this worship, then I'm not going to get anything out of this. Okay. But we just kind of step back and remember, well, hang on now. Worship is about giving, isn't it? It's about giving to God. It's not always about what we get out of it. And you are giving God your best when you are bringing your children to Jesus to worship the Lord, to know the Lord. This is important. I want to be real with you. Yes, there are times it is discouraging, can be taxing, exhausting to care for your children during worship. And sometimes it's just a rough day. We've all had them. I've taken my turn with it too. You know, the benefit of these two preacher arrangements is sometimes I get to take out the kids when it's time to do that. It's not just mom, but Julie does get a ton of credit because honestly, I don't get to wrestle with them a whole lot. But we know we have these tough days. We know we have these tough days. All parents need to remember, this is for a season. Parenting and instruction in worship, it only lasts for a season. There's a time. There's a purpose for it. There's a reason we're doing it and doing it now. You're putting in the work now. But there's going to be reward later. You reap what you sow. And if you are an exhausted parent in the room tonight, then my brother, my sister, be transparent enough to tell someone. In fact, before you leave here tonight, there's going to be some of us back in the room. Talk about it. Because I'll tell you, there are some other brothers and sisters in the congregation that will come alongside and they will help you. And they will sit with you and they'll let the children come sit with them. And they will spell you a little bit. Because the church is going to work together in this. But there's help. There's no reason to get so burnt out with wrestling children during worship. You don't want to worship anymore. In fact, we'll have something in place next week. So come talk to me about it, all right? Come talk to me about it. As parents, we do things to raise up our children the best we can. And sometimes that means doing things we don't always get much out of. When it's over, we're like, well, I didn't get much out of that. Well, why did you do it? It was important for my child. Can I give you an example? Some parents, we don't have to see the show of hands, but I know there's some parents in here. Your kids have done the fifth grade music recital at school. Now, did you go to the fifth grade music or any of the first music recitals to get so much out of the music? Because here's my guess. If you were going to get so much out of the music, you would be going to a symphony orchestra that could play at least at the collegiate level and probably at the professional level. That's when you go to get something out of it. So why do we go to the fifth grade music recitals? Why do we go to all those first recitals? Why do we do that? Because we support them, taking their steps in growth in the right direction. We applaud it. They're coming up the right way. Likewise, worshiping together means you're still going to give God the best you can at that moment, but you are supporting your children in taking the steps of spiritual growth and service the best they can. The best they can. And I've had parents and brothers and sisters, they come talk to me, they say things like, I didn't get much out of the lesson today. I'm wrestling with little Johnny. You know what? I heard of the sermon I liked, but I didn't hear much of the sermon. I get that one from my wife. And I always said, we'll just go with that. It probably was fine. It probably went the rest of the way. Let me say this. God bless you, parents. God bless you. Because worship is not all about you. It's not all about your kids. But it is all about God. And you're showing them that. You're teaching. You are making Jesus a priority. And that is a great spiritual service to your children. And I want to encourage all the parents tonight. Children will meet your expectations. Go ahead and stick with it, parents. Kids rise to your expectations. You bring them when they're young. You show them when you're young. And one day you're going to look at them. You're going to realize here they are. They're sitting with you. They're in this pew. They're doing the best they can at their age, at their level, to participate, to follow along in the worship of God. Just like mommy and daddy worship. They're trying to be just like you. You're doing a great thing, parents, in worshiping with your children in the church. Let's talk about the third group. Let's talk about the third group in Mark 10. And those are these disciples. Those are the disciples. Now, disciples have a very important work. And I believe that's to encourage the parents and encourage those that are leading the children up to know Jesus. Now, that's not what the disciples did in Mark 10. If you want to read it together with me again, verse 13, they brought the little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. All right? So the parents were doing a good thing. They're doing the right thing. The disciples were actually making it harder on them, and that had to be corrected. So this is really simple, but church, let's be careful not to repeat the mistake of these disciples, but instead encourage parents and those with children in the assembly. How are we going to do that? Well, let's all just beware of cutting eyes and grumpy faces when somebody's having a rough day. Because we've all had some rough days. And children in church means that sometimes there's going to be crying and fussing and parents are weighing out in their minds. What's the best thing to do here? Do I need to keep them in the assembly, right? And we're going to learn how we're going to sit. Or do I need to take them out and handle this? If I take them out, am I just giving in to them? Because really all they want to do is get out. All kinds of psychological games, you know, that parents play with their children. And so we have rough days. Here's what I want to encourage all the disciples. If you're older, you have grown kids, don't catch parenthood amnesia. You know parenthood amnesia? Well, if you did, you forgot about it. But it works like this, you know. Oh, I had my Johnny, but my Johnny never. Oh, I had my little Susie, but I knew what to do with little Susie. And if they'd ask me, and so my kids just never. They just never. Wow. They just never. And I think they probably did. But with the child or parenthood amnesia, see? Oh, this was just killer. I don't even remember which kid it was. But we had this baby and she was just having a fussy Sunday. And this sweet little old lady come up to Julie after the service and she said, "But why does your baby cry?" "Sister, you have two grown ones. They cry, you know? They cry. Did you forget they cry? That's what they do. They cry." She got a little bit of parenthood amnesia. We'll go on with that. You know, it works the other way. Oh, hang on. I didn't want to do, well, I'm gonna get it. The other thing about the church helping, before we get into the positive things, this is kind of the do-nots. Don't catch the parenthood amnesia. And don't catch this one. Don't catch this one, which is pre-parenthood. Engaging in pre-parenthood works very similarly, but it's like this. Boy, when I'm a parent, I'm never going to let my kids do thus and so. Boy, when I'm a parent, I know what I'm going to do about thus and so. Boy, when I'm a parent, my kids will never. Famous last words. I had an older preacher tell me once that the hardest thing about preaching on parenting is that your children will make a liar out of you before the service is over. And that is certainly an occupational hazard. So anyway, we're just going to appreciate that, yeah, there's people and there's babies and the children and the babies are going to chew drinks. So we're not going to be making the ugly faces and the cutting eyes. We're going to help. Help the parents. Don't discourage the parents. I tell you, I saw a lady. Oh, she modeled this. She did such a great thing. There was a new family in the church. It was a husband and wife. And I mean, they had come out of the world. They had all kinds of problems. They had abuse, substance problems. They had money problems. They had you name it sort of problems. But they're married. They had three little boys, none of which had ever been into church, right? But they learned the gospel and I baptized mom and dad's coming on the right track and they came to church. And their hearts were so good. Do you know that family with their three boys came right, I mean, right down front and sat. Pretty big church building, okay? There was 250, 275 people there that day. And did I mention that children had never been to church, okay? Like any kind of church. And they're, they're acclimating, okay? There's a lot of going on. And so anyway, what do we do? Well, you know, we just preach on, everything's going to be fine. When up from the back of the building shoots up this sweet little old lady, sister in Christ, quiet. When I say quiet, if you were to speak one-on-one to this sister, you could not hear what she said. You would lean in and she would like get quieter. I mean, she was just so quiet, so quiet. She had two grown boys of her own. They were gone. She's a little bit older, very quiet. She comes coming on down the aisle. She comes right down to the front. She whispers something to mom, whispers something to dad. I don't know. I don't know if they heard, you know. But she whispers something to him. Next thing you know, the three boys, they get up and they go with her. And she takes them back to her seat. And she had those boys settled. I don't know if she had something in her purse. I don't know what she did. But all of a sudden, the three of those boys just sat with her. They're like little angels. And she got them acclimated. And mom and dad, now they could kind of get acclimated. And they're learning what worship was about. And there was a special bond between them. From then on, she kind of adopted those boys. And it was not an uncommon thing to see the boys just sit with her. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. I mean, if you would put yourself in the shoes of the new Christians, first time to church, kids are going nuts. What do? Throw me a lifeline in front of a couple hundred people that are strangers. And here came Sister Carolyn. Ah, she was an answer to prayer, I tell you. The church was helping. The church was helping. Something our congregation does, I think, is so precious, very important. We have a training room. Part of the facilities is a room that is set up like the auditorium for parents to come in and work on it a little while. You get to hear things. You get to see things. Take them back there. Train them a little bit. Come bring them back out here. It's very, very wise. Very, very good to help parents train their children. We need to be praying for our parents. I won't labor long on that, but you know, it's absolutely the truth. Every father, every mother, every Christian father, mother, they need the prayers of the church in raising their children and raising children to know the Lord. What we can do as a church, we can notice the children. Talk to them. Meet them. Ask them about their week. Ask them about their interests. See them. See the children. Not just my peer group, but also the children in the church. Can I tell you, I was a visitor at a gospel meeting in a church in Alabama. I wasn't preaching that night. I just went there to hear the sermon, and I brought Olivia along with me. And I'm so engrossed in this sermon. As the preacher's going on and on, I feel this pushing on my shoulder. And I look back, and it's, again, one of these sweet sisters. And she hands me this shawl. She says, "Put this on her. She's cold." And I look down, and sure enough, Olivia is shivering. And I've been so caught up in the sermon, I missed that the AC was pretty cold, and she was cold. But this sweet lady behind me was very considerate of my daughter and wanted her to be, better than me, and wanted her to be comfortable. It's incredible. It was so good. And, you know, while I felt bad as a parent, I felt great as a Christian and as a guest in that congregation, because here was a lady looking out for my child. Really meant a lot. Really meant a lot. As disciples, we can set the right example for all these children in our midst. Kids need to be in the presence of adults who model passionate worship. The kind of worship that kids need to have and to give to survive in this world. Where do children get the idea that it's also... that it can be so boring, adult-friendly, not kid-friendly? Well, how do the adults treat it? Does anyone have joy for the Lord? Children pick up on that. You know what? They are so smart, they can sense the difference between delight and dread. They really can. And they'll see that in their parents, and they'll see that in the people around them in the pews. They absolutely will. We need to set the right example and then spend time together with Christians, with these families outside the assembly. We talk about hospitality from time to time. It's such an important thing. Some parents are fearing how a church will look upon them or their children in worship, especially if the kids don't behave real well, and they worry that the disciples won't like them or they won't like their kids. So we're just not sure if we want to go to this church that doesn't have children's church. And you know what actually happens is you come and bring your children a couple of times, they're going to leave the church with three more grandmas than they came in with. That happens a lot. And we spend some time together away from here, and people find out strong intergenerational relationships. Yeah, they can start in a church building, but they expand in many areas of life. And it's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. So we're not going to do what these disciples in Mark 10 did. We're going to encourage. We're going to encourage. There's a fourth group we want to talk about, and the lesson will be yours. Number four, well, it's the children. It's the small children, isn't it? And what we learned in Mark 10 is that it is very good for the disciples to see these children. Isn't that interesting? But in Mark 10 and verse 14, Jesus is displeased with the disciples. The Bible says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." You know, we can read these words and then look around the room here tonight and see children. Isn't that marvelous? Jesus uses children as an object lesson. And friends, we can still look on children and we can appreciate greatly Jesus' words. We can appreciate this object of humility, of dependence, of trust. We can take a lesson. Be childlike. And so it is good for disciples to see children. I believe the church wins when families are worshiping together. The church wins. It's good to learn early that church is about unity and community and not about segregation. It's good to learn early from a young age. Church is about unity and community and not segregation. If kids can learn at a young age that it's acceptable in the house of God to separate themselves from the adults, well, later on they may think it's okay to segregate themselves. And this is something that I've read some studies on about the problem of youth culture and the long-lasting effects of age segregation in churches. That you raise up a group of people who think they must always have something that's always relevant, i.e. pointed to them, about them, at their very stage in life. For 20 years it goes on that way. And then, suddenly, they're dumped in a room with people who are not near their age or stage in life. And now they're seeing people in near retirement age. And now they're seeing people who are empty nesters. And now they're seeing people caring for elderly parents. What could they possibly have in common with these people? But the kid's raised up worshiping with the whole church. All his life. Knows exactly what they have in common with all these diverse people. Christ. Brotherhood. Fellowship. This is the church of God. They've never looked all like me. And they always have been. Always have been the church of God. I tell you, the church wins when families are worshiping together in the assembly, because children of worship are beautiful. It blesses the disciples to see them, to see the children taking part in worship. Just to see the eyes widen, the faces light up, and to hear them sing out. And when their precious voices are somehow five times louder than anybody else's, that's a fantastic thing. Because here's this unmitigated joy. And no fear of what my voice sounds like to anyone else. I'm singing for God. Singing because I'm happy. Singing to sing with mom and dad. I'm singing out. It's fantastic. I think the church wins when the families are worshiping together and the children are in the assembly, because children are signs of life. I've got a little bit of experience now in preaching, not a whole lot, but a little. And I have preached at some churches with babies and toddlers and such, and I have preached at churches without them. And people, parents especially, are so worried their crying baby is going to be seen. Sometimes it's like a personal affront or an offense to the preacher. I don't see it that way at all. They're absolutely signs of life. And when a church doesn't have any of that wrestling, fussing, cooing, crying energy, that church has got some problems, actually. You need that. And I'm glad to say I'm in a church that has all that. We want all that. You're never going to offend me. So let's kind of bring this home. What can I say? And I have some of these listed in the notes, but I'll kind of talk through them real quick. What can I say when someone asks, do you have children's church at Livingston? Well, maybe I'll come with you. Do you have children's church? Here's some things to say. We want to be very clear. We love children. We love having children in our worship time. We all worship together. We love that here. We believe it's important for families to worship together. And we know, you know, it's different for kids, but they have something they can do at every age. The toddlers, they can stand in worship and sit in worship. They can close their eyes to pray. They sing. They're learning the songs and learn some of the words of the songs. And then you got the young elementary kids coming along. And you know what they can do? They can actually take their own notes during the sermons. They can read these visual aids, these slides. They can fill in the blanks and write those words. They can actually track along. It's exciting. The older kids, they've learned their way, or they're learning their way around the Bible. Preacher says, we're going to go to this passage. We're going to go find a Mark. And they open up their Bible into Mark. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And they read along. So no, it's important for us to work together. Good things are coming out of it. My family, you know, my family does this every week. And I don't think there's something so special about me or so special about my kids to pull that off. Actually, I got a lot of confidence in my kids and in your kids. Kids catch on quickly. And when I tell them that, you know, the kids are catching on quickly, we might want to give them some helpful tips about, oh, is it really going to be your first time in church? Well, then you know what? For the little kids, maybe there's some things you might want to bring with you. You might want to bring a coloring sheet. You might want to bring some pens. You might want to do that. And after you give them that little you might want to, you say you come sit with me and you be sure you have some of those things. Because I'll tell you what, the kids may not care anything about mom and dad's stuff, but new stuff is always cool. And if it's your crayons, all of a sudden they're coloring because it's like the best thing ever. That kind of thing goes on. What do we want to say is that we're all in this together. And you're going to see at Livingston Church, there's just plenty of other families here. Tell you what, come with me, will you? We'll sit where you feel comfortable. And I can assure you, you are not invading anyone else's worship. We all want you to come. We're in this together. Family worship's a good thing. It's new. I'll share with you this analogy I thought was pretty good. My wife says, bringing the kids to church for the first time, it's like the new group exercise class. You ever been the first time to a exercise class? You do feel self-conscious the first time. You think everyone's staring at you. In reality, no one is looking at you. And then the second time you visit, it feels pretty natural. You know what's going on. I think that's a helpful analogy. Just about trying something new. Your kids can do this. They're going to pick up quicker than you think. Your kids are going to surprise you. And I'm going to help you. We're going to sit together. My family, your family, and we're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who said, "Let the little children come to me." If you would take out or put away your Bible and your notes, we're going to have some more song worship now. Let the children come to me. Brother Black's coming forward. We're going to sing. What's so wonderful about Jesus Christ? He invites people to come to him. And I don't know where you came from tonight to be in this place, but if you are not a Christian, Jesus, through the gospel proclamation, is inviting you to come to him, to make him the Lord of your life, to have forgiveness of sins and a new beginning, that he would bless you and make you a part of his people and his church. Would you confess your faith he is the Son of God? Turn from sin in your life. Would you be baptized, immersed in water to have your sins washed away? You can do that now. We're going to sing a song. You can come forward and make that need known now. And it may be tonight that you're here as a parent, as a Christian who's struggling some about making good choices about worship, setting that proper example yourself. You just like to have the prayers of the congregation, the prayers of the elders to lift you up in this great work. Well, we'd be glad to do that too. If we can encourage you and minister to any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing.